Today's daf is Brachos daf Yud Dalid. We are holding on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are at the two dots, about six lines from the bottom of the page in daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are now going back to discuss the line in our Mishnah where we spoke about responding to people or even greeting people in the middle of Kriyat Shema. We're going to try to explain the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda because Rav Meir's opinion was not 100% clear. Rav Meir said that Beprakim, in between the paragraphs, Shol mipnei hakavod umeshiv, that you can greet someone out of respect umeshiv, but it didn't say meshiv mishum what, whether it's respect, whether it's fear, whether it's stam, you're allowed to be meshiv. Ubeemtza shol mipnei yira umeshiv, and in the middle you could be shol mipnei yira, and again it says umeshiv, but it doesn't say meshiv mishum what. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda said beemtza shol mipnei yira umeshiv mipnei hakavod. So Rabbi Yehuda was explicit on both sides of the equation, both when you can be shawel and when you can be meshiv. That in middle of a paragraph, you can only be shawel out of yira, but you could even be meshiv out of kavod. And in between paragraphs, you could be shawel mipnei kavod even, and meshiv even for anybody, for everybody. So says the Gemara, Meshiv machmas mai. When we say that you could be shol that beprakim, according to Rabbi Meir, in between paragraphs, you could be shol mipnei hakavod umeshiv. So what is the circumstance that you're allowed to be meshiv? So two possibilities. Ilem mipnei hakavod, if it means you could also be meshiv mipnei hakavod. Well, hashem mishal shol adurim yibai. Isn't that obvious that if you could even be shol mipnei hakavod, so of course you should be able to be meshiv mipnei hakavod. So the second possibility is el shol mipnei hakavod umeshiv shol mikol adam. They could be shol mipnei hakavod, and meshiv means you could be meshiv to anybody. It doesn't even have to be mishum kavod. And Ema Sefer, then the next line would be ubeemtza shol mipnei yira umeshiv, that in middle of a paragraph you could be shol mipnei yira umeshiv. So again, what does umeshiv mean? Two possibilities. Meshiv machmas mai. Ilema, first possibility, mipnei hayira, that meshiv means you could only be meshiv out of yira. Hashem mishal shol adurim mibai. Well, again, isn't that obvious? If I could even be shobel mipnei hayira in middle of a paragraph, shouldn't it be obvious that I could also be meshiv mipnei hayira? So second possibility, ela mipnei hakavod. It must be that I'm being shol mipnei hayira, but I could be meshiv mipnei hakavod. Well, haynu de Rabbi Yehuda, but then if we go with the second possibility of each line, we just set up Rabbi Meir to be saying the same exact thing as Rabbi Yehuda, that in between the paragraphs you could be shoel mipnei hakavod and meshiv mipnei hakavod, meshiv, let's see. Haynu de Rabbi Yehuda, detan Rabbi Yehuda omer beemtza shol mipnei yira umeshiv mipnei hakavod uprakim shol mipnei hakavod umeshiv shol mikol adam. The Rabbi Yehuda says that in the middle of a paragraph you could be shol mipnei yira and you could respond mipnei hakavod, and beprakim you could be shol mipnei hakavod umeshiv shalom mikol adam. You could be meshiv to anybody. So it turns out that the way we're setting it up, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are saying the same exact thing as each other, and that doesn't make any sense. There's got to be some sort of machlokas in the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, of course there's a machlokas. Klisuri mechzer v'hachi katani. You have to add in a couple of words to the Mishnah, and then the Mishnah will read beautifully. V'prakim shol mipnei hakavod ve'ein tzarich lomar shehu meshiv. When he says umeshiv, it does mean mipnei hakavod, meaning but didn't we say that once you tell me you can be shol mipnei hakavod, isn't it obvious that you can be meshiv mipnei hakavod? Yes, it is obvious. So add in the words ve'ein tzarich lomar. Yeah, and of course you could also be meshiv. Doesn't even need to be said. So once you say the words ve'ein tzarich lomar, you're allowed to say obvious things because you're acknowledging that what you're saying is obvious. Ube'emtza shol mipnei yira ve'ein tzarich lomar shu meshiv. And in the middle you could be shol mipnei yira. In the middle of a paragraph you could shol mipnei yira. And of course you could be meshiv mipnei yira as well. Different Rameir. So essentially, we'll turn out that Rameir holds that there's no chilik between shoel and meshiv. That both shoel and meshiv have the same rules. If it's in between paragraphs, you can do it mishum kavod, and if it's in middle of a paragraph, you could do it mishum yira. But Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, there is a difference between being Shoal and being Meshiv. Shoal Mibnei Yiro, Meshiv, Be'emtza Shoal Mibnei Yiro, Meshiv Mibnei Kavod. Rabbi Yehuda says, in the middle of a paragraph, you could be Shoal Mibnei Yiro, but to be Meshiv, that you could even do Mibnei Kavod. And it would be Prakim in between paragraphs, Shoal Mibnei Kavod, Meshiv Shoal Mikal Adam. You could be Shoal Mibnei Kavod, and you could even be Meshiv for anybody. It doesn't even have to be Mibnei Covered. It could be to anybody. Tanya Nami Yachim of Brisa says just like this. Akore Shema Pagaba Rabba Gadol Imenu. If you're in the middle of Shema and then you encounter your Rebbe or someone who's greater than you, so Beprakim Sholmim Nakavim Ben Sarach Lomar Shum Meshiv. If it's in between paragraphs, you could greet him out of kavod, and obviously also be meshiv out of kavod. Ube emsa sholmi bnei yira ve'ein sarich lo marshu meshiv. And in the middle of a paragraph, you can greet out of yira, and obviously also be meshiv out of yira. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir Shita. So you see, within Rabbi Meir Shita, this brisa adds in those words ve'ein sarich lo mar. So now we know that when Rabbi Meir says umeshiv, he means when can you be meshiv under the same circumstances that you were shoel. Isn't it obvious? Yes, it's obvious. That's why we say Vein Tzarech Lomar. And the Braisa continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Be'emtza Shol Mibnei Yiro, Meshav Mnei HaKavod, U'Biprakim Shol Mnei HaKavod, U'Meshav Shol Mnei HaKaladim. There was never any controversy about what Rabbi Yehuda holds, because Rabbi Yehuda was already explicit in the Mishnah exactly which circumstances you could be Shoel and which circumstances you could be Meshav. And Rabbi Yehuda's general rule is that whenever we're dealing with being Meshav, you always go one step down. You always say that you don't even need to be as respectable as the person that you're being shovel. So when you're allowed to be shol mnei yira, you could even be meshiv mnei kavod. When you're allowed to be shol mnei kavod, you could even be meshiv l'kol adam. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita, whereas Rabbi Meir is not mechalik between shovel and meshiv. Period. That's the end of that discussion. So we're now 7 lines in the daf Yud Daled Amud Aleph, says Gemara, new shaila. Boy mnei achi tana debei Rabbi Chiya, mei Rabbi Chiya. So achi, what's achi? So says Rashi, kach shemo. That's this fellow's name. His name is achi. We have it's an unusual name. So Achi, who happened to have learnt by Rabbi Chiya, asked from Rabbi Chiya the following shaila. Bahalil b'megillah ma'u sheyafsik. Once we're talking about being mafsik in Kriya Shema, so we understand very well what this shaila is doing here. He asks, can you be mafsik in middle of halil, or be mafsik in middle of Megillah? And the Yehuda deals with the shaila. I forget exactly where, but in the debut as a shaila, if you're in the middle of Mikra Megillah and it's the last night to say Kiddush Levana and it's been cloudy all month, and then right in the middle of Mikra Megillah, the clouds disperse and you have you notice outside there's a chance to say Kiddush Levana. Should you have everyone leave shul, say Kiddush Levana, and then come back and do Mikra Megillah, being mafsik in middle. So let's see what the Gemara say about being mafsik in middle of Mikra Megillah. So what's the halacha? Can you be mafsik in Hallel? Can you be mafsik in Mikra Megillah? So what are the tzadim? Mi amrin kal v'chomer kriyashma daraisa posek hal d'rabban mi bayi. Should we say on the one hand maybe it's kal v'chomer kriyashma is the daraisa, and yet you're allowed to interrupt under certain circumstances depending who you hold, like Ramei Rabbi Yehuda. So for Halal, which is Drabanan, all the more so you should be allowed to greet somebody depending on the circumstance, in between Prakim or during the Prakim. Oh, Dilmor, maybe no. Persume Nisa Adif. Maybe since Halal has an Indian of Persume Nisa, that makes it stronger, and because of its of the Persume Nisa element, maybe you cannot interrupt at all. Where do we ever find that Persume Nisa gives something status that even a mitzvah d'oraisa won't have? So we do have. The Gemara says that the Mesachas Pesachim, that Afilu Mocher Ksusa, that for Dalet Kosos, and for Ner Chanukah, the Gemara says in Shabbos, for anything that involves Persume Nisa, normally the halacha is Hamevazreis Ali Vazreis Yosher Michomesh. So you don't have to spend more than 20% of your money on any given mitzvah sasei, even mitzvah sasei midoraisa. But when it comes to mitzvahs that involve Persume Nisa, we say Afilu Mocher Ksusa, you even have to sell the clothing off your back, no matter what. You have to give up all of your money to be able to try to accomplish a mitzvah that involves Persume Nisa, even though all three examples that are explicit in Shas, other than Halal, that are mitzvahs that involve Persume Nisa, are all mitzvahs d'rabanan. And even Halal, the Gemara over here says, is also a mitzvah mid'rabanan. So even though Persume Nisa mitzvahs are almost by definition in mitzvos mitrabanan. Nevertheless, we see that they do have a certain chumrah attached to them. Now, in terms of spending money, it could be that there's a certain svara to that. Meaning, why is it that you have to spend a great deal of money for more money for mitzvos and vav persuminisa than you would for regular mitzvos? So the Avnei Nezer explains that that when it comes to regular mitzvos, we assume there's a concept called anus rachmana patre, that you try to do it, but you couldn't. It's just unreasonable. You're going to spend all your money, you're going to be poor. Anus rachmana patre, that's considered an anus, and the Torah says you're pater in a situation of anus. But when it comes to an inyan of persume nisa, it's not just about you serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, okay, I forgive it, anus rachmana patre. Persume nisa is not just about the maisa, it's about the goal also. You're trying to accomplish something in that you're trying to spread the word about the great miracle that happened. So as much as HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, I'm fine with it, it's okay, yeah, but at the end of the day, you didn't accomplish the goal. You didn't accomplish spreading the word. So in terms of your relationship with Hashem, might be fine, but Persume Nisa mitzvahs are about accomplishing a certain goal, and that's only accomplished when you actually do it. You're only actually spreading the word. If people see your Ner Chanukah, if you actually do the mitzvahs that have Persume Nisa. So that's how the Avnei Nezer explains why you have to spend so much money. If Salvation explains, in Nahari Kedmini printed, that no, it's much, much more direct. That why? What are we doing when we're doing the mitzvah involves Persume Nisa? HaKadosh Baruch Hu set a basic rules that he runs the world with. He runs the world with certain basic principles. And he was willing to break those rules in order to save us, in whatever nace it might be. That's the definition of nace, that he went against the rules of Teva. Teva is also a nace, but that's a nace that happens every day. That's part of the rules that Hashem runs the world with. So when he does a nace, what we call a nace, so nace nigla, so that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's willingness to go outside of the box a little bit and say, I'm willing to break the rules for you. So says Rav Salvechik, when we're celebrating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's willingness to throw all cheshbonos out the window and just do whatever it takes, so then we should celebrate in that same way. Normally we live life with a cheshbon, and it's irresponsible to spend more than 20% of our money on any given thing. Good, that's when we're living in a cheshbon way. But once we decide when we're celebrating HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the cheshbonos out the window, we need to throw the cheshbonos out the window, and we need to celebrate in whatever way it takes, however much money we have to give up. So what's the svar over here? Why would Persume Nisa be a reason not to be mafsik, meaning good? So now we explain that Persume Nisa is a reason to spend more money. Why is it a reason not to be mafsik? So I heard years ago from a chavrusa, from a berazner, he said that, he didn't know where, but he said that that he saw once that maybe part of the Persume Nisa is the consistency. That if you break it up, meaning, let's say Mikra Megillah, for instance, you're going to read the Megillah, and then you'll stop the story in the middle, and then you'll continue the reading later. So if you lose that retzifus of the story, you're missing out on part of the miracle. There's no line in the Megillah that's miraculous. The whole miracle of the Megillah is to see the entire story beginning to end. And when you're mafsik, you're losing out on the Persume Nisa element. That would work for Megillah. I'm not sure about Hallel, why that would be true of Hallel. But okay, so that's the Tut Stadim. Do we say that since Hallel is only Midrabanan, you're allowed to be mafsik? Or do we say that since it involves Persume Nisa, you're not allowed to be mafsik? Interestingly, the Ramban in Parshas Emor, Perichlav Gimel, Pasuk Beis, Ramban writes that Hallel is Daraisa. It says in our Gemara Beferish that Hallel is Rabbanon. He says, yeah, because our Gemara is talking about Hallel and Rosh Chodesh, Hallel and Chanukah, but really Hallel is Daraisa. Maritz Chayis over here also talks about this. The Maritz Chayis says that, he says, Ein Shail Shuva Shagas Aryeh, Simon Alpha Beis, Shemakshel Lashitas Ramban, Distrilib Sefer Mitzvah Tal Biyom Tov Daraisa. That he asks this on the Ramban, that the Ramban says, Halal Daraisa. So says Shagas Aryeh, because those negative Kriyashma, Asher Chiyuva Mefurash Divrei Torah, Mikri Halal Megillah Drabanon, Avogav Dehem Divrei Kabbalah. First of all, he says it could be that when we say Daraisa, it doesn't really mean Daraisa, it means that it's Midivrei Kabbalah. It's a higher level than a Drabanon. But he says, so when you're dealing with something that's Divrei Kabbalah, sometimes you can call it a Daraisa when you're comparing it to Drabanons. Sometimes you'll call it a Drabanon when you're comparing it to Daraisas that are explicit in the Torah. So when we're comparing it to Kriyashma, we're saying, well, Kriyashma is Daraisa, but what's Hallel? So we'll use the term Drabanon, even though it's not really Drabanon, it's Midivrei Kabbalah, because Klapei Kriya Shema, which is Mefurish in the Pasuk, Halel relative to that is only like a Drabbanan. It's Midivrei Kabbalah. The Maariz Chayis also notes that we started out by asking B'Halel B'Megillah Ma'ashi Yafsik, both Halel and Megillah, and then we said, should we say Kriya Shema is Daraisa, but Halel is only Drabbanan? What do you mean? What happened to Megillah? How did Megillah get lost so quickly? Right? Should we say Kriya Shema Zaraisa, but Halel and Megillah are only Drabbanan? So he says, V'had the pasuk Halel and Megillah, V'siyim b'Halel levad, Yishlom R'Pshit, Leid the Megillah, in Rak Divrei Kabbalah, Rak Halel the Chanukah, Kivin Das Rashi, B'tayin Hashem, Hold the Tikkun Chazal al Neis, Havi Kiddo Oraisa. So that's why we have to single out Halel as being Drabbanan, because Megillah is more obvious. Halel, we need to make a point of saying that it's only Midivrei Kabbalah. Megillah, we knew, is only Midivrei Kabbalah. Okay, so what's the halacha? So says the Gemara, Amr le posek vein b'kach, you're allowed to stop in the middle of those, it's no problem at all. Amar Rabba, Yamim Sheyachid Gomer Ben Es Halel, Dein Perek Leperek Posek. On days where we are Gomer the Halel, where we complete the Halel, so you're allowed to be Posek in between the different paragraphs. Be'emtza Perek Eino Posek, but you're not allowed to stop in middle of a paragraph. Yamim Sheyachid Gomer Ben Es Halel, but if it's a day that we don't say the whole Halel, Afilu Be'emtza Perek Posek, then even in the middle of a Perek you're allowed to be Mafsik. Eini v'Rav Bar Shava ikla l'gabi d'ravinu v'yom sheini yachid gomer ben es halel loya v'lo pasuk lei. Didn't Rav Bar Shava go to Ravina and it was a day that we don't say the complete halel and he refused to be posik, he wouldn't be mafsik? So shiny Rav Bar Shava d'lo chashva lei d'ravina. That wasn't because you're not allowed to be mafsik, it's because you're only allowed to be mafsik m'pnei ha-kavod, and he didn't have kavod for Ravina. He was, let's say, a contemporary of Ravina. He didn't feel like he needed to have extra kavod for Ravina. So we didn't. Had it been someone that his rebbe or something, then maybe he would have been mafsik. This long Tosfos over here has a very important discussion. Tosfos, when we say the phrase Yachid Gomer Be'emes HaHalel, so Tosfos points out right off the bat, Lav Dafka Yachid Ela Filut Sibur Korei Yachid. When we say Yachid Gomer Ben Es Halel, it means the day we say the whole Halel. Why do we call it Yachid then? Everyone's doing it. Everyone says the whole Halel in all these Yom Tovim. So because there's one Halel that everybody, literally everybody, needs to actually say together. And that is the Halel that we do at the time of the Shechitas Pesachim. The Mishnayos and Pesachim describe how they would open up the doors of the Azara and there would be this massive rush of everyone going in, and as they're shechting all of these psachim and people are walking around knee deep in blood, they would be, because of so many shechitas going on, they would be all be saying the halal, and they would keep and start again until they finished those shechitas, and it only took three turns to get all of Klal Yisrael in. When that first group was finished, they would go out another group with a massive crush to come in, and the third group was a very tiny group because everyone pushed their way in the first and second group, so that was everyone really together saying the halal. So that's why we call every other halal yachid gomer ben es halal, even though every other halal is not being said by yechidim, it's being said in shuls and the whole community is saying it, but it's not that massive gathering. V'lav dafka gomer devadek haimelam diyam shein yachid gomer salal ein chova lo amro klal. He says that when we say gomer is lav dafka also, because a lot of these days that ain't a yachid gomer ben es halal, there's no real chiv to say halal at all, and that leads Tosfos into a discussion. Good, what about those days that there's no chiv to say halal at all, like on Rosh Chodesh, where there's no real chiv, and we say it anyway? Why do we say it? It's a minag. So can you make a bracha on such a kriya sahalal where it's only a minag? So later on he writes, V'kosav b'machzav vitri, kivin sheinu el minag bi'alma loma v'rachinu alei, kadom perak lulav arava, ein mevarch l'davashu minag. The Gemara's discussion, Masech HaSukkah, is arava yisod nevi'im, or is it minag nevi'im? And what's the difference? Well, you wouldn't make a bracha if it's only minag nevi'im, because we don't make a bracha on a minhag. So if halal Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag, no bracha. Umiyu Omer Rabbeinu Tam De'eno Raya. He thinks that that's not correct. Atiltul Vadei Lom Vachinan. Aval Mitzvah pshita de mevarchina. If it's a minute to hold an arava, that you won't make a bracha. But on a mitzvah, we would make a bracha. Da chazin kol yom tov sheinienu al minhaga. If we have a minug to do a minug that's betoras mitzvah, like yom tov sheini, it's all a minug. Minug avaseinu biyadenu. That's why we keep a second day of yontov over here in Chutz Laretz. And nevertheless, umevarchim, we make brachas on achilas matzah and achilas mar in the second seder. Vachanami mashmin de mevarchin. Di lo mevarchin mayav saka. And also, over here by Hallel, also it sounds like we're making a bracha. Otherwise, what are you being mafsik? What do you mean being mafsik? Why would it be a hefsik if you didn't make a bracha? Another raya that you make a bracha on a minag is the Gemara tells us that Rav once walked into a shul. He went to Bavel and he walked into a shul and it was Rosh Chodesh and he saw they were saying Hallel and he wanted to stop them. What are you guys doing? And then he saw that they were skipping a couple of paragraphs and he realized, okay, it's a minag, that's their minag, I can leave it alone. Well, what was he thinking? If they didn't make a bracha in the first place, didn't he realize that something was different, that it was only a minag? It must be that they did make a bracha. So you are permitted to make a bracha on a minag. So that's the machlokas, machzav vitri, and Rabbeinu Tam tells us, quotes, whether it's permissible to make a bracha on a minhag. Okay, weiter now in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, two dots, first wide line. Bay minay Ashion, Tana de Rabiami, another unusual name. Ashion, who learned by Rabiami, Mirabiami. So he asked from Rabiami the following shayla. Hashari betainis ma'u sheyitom. If a person is fasting, are you allowed to taste food while you're fasting, just to see if it needs any extra ingredients? Sachil v'shtia kabule vahaleka, adilma na kabule vayika. Should we say, well, he was makabel not to eat and drink, and he's not eating and drinking? Or should we say that, no, he was makabel not to get any hana'a from food, and he is getting hana. Amalei toim vei mekachum. He can taste the food. No problem. Tani nami achim atem esein etuna bracha. Vashar b'tani is toim vei mekachum. And Bryce said, says just like this. It adds first halacha that you don't need to make a bracha if you're just tasting for flavor. And if you're fasting, it's no problem to taste. Ad kama. How much can you call it taste? Rabbi Asi tami ad shir reviyasa. Up until reviyas, you can still call it taste. But other than that, it's no problem. Now, Rabbeinu Chananel is quoted in Tosfos over here that when we say toim, it means that you're chozer v'polet, that you don't swallow it, you spit it out. Otherwise, it's not called ti'ima, that's called achila, even if the purpose of your eating is to check for flavor, but if you swallow it, that's eating. So toim just means to put it in your mouth and spit it back out. But a much more fundamental question, Meretz Chayes asks, Hashari b'tayin es ma'u sheyitom, he points to the tzlach that asks, Ma'u sheichas imin zelakan. Why is this on brachas taf yadalit? We've been talking about Kriya Shema, we've been talking about being mafsik. What does that got to do with eating on a fast day? So I would have thought, Pashtus, what does that have to do with eating on a fast day? Eating on a fast day is being mafsik your fast. You're being mafsik in the middle of your fast. But no, he says different. He says that maybe, he says, I'll tell you Yisod, it's the beginning of Shas still, we're still in the first couple of weeks of Shas, I'll tell you Yisod that will carry you through the rest of Shas. And the Yisod is, Shebishvil Dimyon Kal Samchu Mesadri Shas Hadvarim. For any slight connection between two memras, the Mesadri HaShas are not afraid to put things next to each other. For any minor connection. What's the minor connection over here? We just said before that the Tani Debei Rabbi Chiya asked something from Rabbi Chiya. So now we're saying something that the Tana Debei Rabbi Yami asked of Rabbi Yami. And that's the whole connection. That it's the Tana Debei of something asking from somebody. Which seems like even less than a minor connection. Because Tana Debei just means the Talmidim in the Yeshiva. The Stama Talmidim of a given Yeshiva ask the Rosh HaYeshiva things every single day in Jewish history, right? So that seems like a much less of a connection than what I suggested, that maybe it's being mafsik in the middle of the tainus. Okay, so Vaitu says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Kalanosin Shalom L'Chaveru Kodim Shispal Kilu Aso Bama. If a person gives someone Shalom before he davens, it's as if he made that person into a Bama. Shenamar, because the Pasuk says, Chidu L'Chem Min Adam, stay away from people, Asher Neshama Ba'apo, who have a Neshama in their nose, Ki Bamene Chashevu. What makes them so chashuv? Al tikri bameh el bama. That when you greet people before davening, when you show extra respect to people beyond what you show to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's bama nechashevu. You're considering him like a bama. Ushmul amar bameh chashavta lezev lo laloka. You don't have to change it to bama. It's just saying, it's an expression of like, ah, what do you have to be machshav this person more than Hashem? Masr Hashem says, b'pragam shol mipnei ha-kavod u'meshiv. But wait a second, didn't we say in between paragraphs, you're allowed to greet someone out of kavod, and when end you say Kriya Shema, it's before Tefillah, it's before you daven, it's before Shemoneh Esrei. So don't you see you're allowed to be Shoel Shalom even before Shemoneh Esrei? Tirgum Rabbi Abba b'mashkamu pisco. So Rabbi Abba says no. That's only when you go out of your the iser of greeting somebody before davening is only when you're mashkamu pisco. When you go out of your way to greet him. But if you're not going out of your way, as Tosa says, v'chein alacha v'pagu ba'akray mutter. If you happen to have run into a person, so that's going to be mutter. Says Talmid Rabbi Yonan, daf chesam alal b'dape arif in the name of the Chachmi Provence, dafilu mashkim lepisco eno aser. That even if you're mashkim lepisco, it's only usher if you use the word shalom. But if you say it's safra demara tov, like something like good morning, since you're not mentioning shalom, that's good enough, even if you're mashkim lepisco. And then he quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah, shafilu ze enu mutar al kshutzrach leleches liros le'esek me'asakov al shum inyan. That even then, even if you're mashkim lepisco and you're saying safra demara tov, that's only going to be mutar if you have some other reason why you need to be mashkim lepisco, why you need to go check something out. But if you're going just for the purpose of greeting the person, then safra demara tov is not a good heter, says Rabbeinu Yonah. So in halacha, Shulchan Aruch Pasken, Simon Peites, Sif Beis, you're not allowed to go to somebody's house to greet them with the word Shalom, because that's Hashem's name, but you can say good morning. Also, though, you cannot go out of your way to greet somebody, even if you only say good morning. Right? So, like Rabbeinu Yonah, Shulchan Aruch Pasken is like Rabbeinu Yonah. That's how it's said. Mishnah Berurah says, if you meet an important person, then you can even say Shalom. Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkat and Yod. So, Adam Chashuv, then you could even say Shalom. There is an interesting tshuva in Betzalel Chachmer, Betzalel Stern, in Chelek Hei Siman Ayin, discusses what if your parents are going on a long trip the last chance to say goodbye to them before they go to the airport is before davening. So can you go to their house, dafka, to say Tzeischem L'Shalom to them? Is that permissible? So he says, 100% it's mutter. Why? He says, first of all, the Shvus Yaakov and Chelek Beis Siman Chav Beis holds that it's only Aser Kol Anoshin Shalom L'Chavero. Your parents aren't Chavero. Your parents is Mipnei HaKavod, Mipnei HaYira. You have to have Mora Ave'im. So absolutely it's mutter for that reason. And second, he says, even the Prima Gadim would only be Machmir if you can go later, and it won't be a zilzal to the parent. But if you'll miss them without saying goodbye, then you could definitely go. So even the whole problem of going to someone's door, dafka for greeting, is only if you'll be able to do it later, and you're choosing to do it right now. Plus, as the Kaf Chaim holds, you can do any mitzvah daraisa before davening. You can't do your own business before davening. But if it's letzorach mitzvah, so some would say, let's say Shabbos shopping or something like that, anything that's letzorach mitzvah, so that you are allowed to do before davening. Okay, a bunch of and he also suggests that maybe lishalom isn't the same as shalom. That's a gemara later on in Brachos Tafnun Dalit, that you can't greet a guy with shalom, yet Elisha greeted Naaman Sarzva Melech Aram with Leich Lishalom. So maybe Lishalom is different than Shalom. Okay, so you have to see if that applies over here as well. Vayter in the Gemara, Rabbi Dibaravanam Rabbi Yitzhak Barashiyan, after the parentheses, Asala Ladam Nasas Chafatzav Kodam Shei Spal. You're not allowed to do your own business before you daven. Shemar, Tzedek Lefanav Yahalech Vyasam Laderech Pahamav. Vam Rabbi Dibar, and Rashi explains, Tzedek is Tfila, where you're Matzdik HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then Vyasam Pahamav. Then you take care of your own needs. Vam Ravidi Baravan Amar Rabbi Yitzhak Barashiyan called Nespal Varchak Yosei Lederech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asalo Chafatzav. Shneimer Tzedek Lefan Vialich Vyasam Lederech Pahamav. If you daven first and then you take care, then you go out on the road, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you on the road. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of those who take care of him. Vam Rabbi Yonah Amar Rabbi Zera Kala Lunch of his Yom Bela Chalom Nikarav. A person goes 7 days without having a dream, that's called bad. Shneimer Visavea Yalin Bal Yifkad Ra. The satiated sleeper will not be greeted with bad, will not be meted bad on him. Al tikri saveya ella sheva. Don't read it saveya as insatiated, but rather read it sheva, seven. If you sleep 7 days, baliv kadra. Amle revacha breder rabbi bar abba, hachi am rabbi chiyam rabbi yochanan. No, this is what it means. Kala masbiya atzmo midivrei Torah v'lan. Anyone who satiates himself with Torah, when then goes to sleep, he fills himself with a little Torah before going to sleep. Ein mevasnos abesoros roast. He's not going to be delivered bad news in his sleep. Shneimar v'saveya yalin baliv kadra. You don't have to change it to v'sheva. V'saveya, when you satiate yourself with divrei Torah, fine. Elaine Ben Aprakum, the Mishnah then went on to define what is called the middle of a paragraph and what is called Ben Aprakim. Amr Rabbi Yavo, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Lach Rabbi Yehuda, Da Amar, Ben Elukechem Le'emes V'yatzav Lo Yafsik. We pass on Rabbi Yehuda that you're not allowed to be mafsik between Elokechem and Emes V'Yatziv. So Rabbeinu Yonah discusses, what does that mean, you're not allowed to be mafsik between Elokechem and Emes V'Yatziv? Does it mean simply that he points out, Yesh Mefarshim, Delo Yafsik means that it's that you're not allowed to be mafsik the way you would normally between paragraphs, because this doesn't count as between paragraphs, but it does count as the middle of a paragraph, and therefore you can be mafsik to, let's say, be Meshiv or Shaul Mepnei Ayira, because it's the middle of a paragraph, and in the middle of paragraphs so you're allowed to do that. So is that what it means, that between Elokechem and Emes it counts like a middle of a paragraph? So Yesh Mefarshim say that way, but then Rabbeinu Yonah quotes Rabbeinu Tzarfas to say, no, Eino Mafsik means it's even stronger than the middle of the paragraph. You're not allowed to be Mafsik at all. Say the word MS, and once you say the word MS, then you'll tack a B in the middle of a paragraph, then you could be Meshav Mnei Yira, Shalom Mnei Yira, Meshav Mnei Kavod, whatever the halach happens to be. Right? But you have to say that word MS, can't be mafsik at all. Once you say the word MS, good, then you're in the middle of a paragraph, then you can do whatever, then you can do whatever the rules are. So, Amar Rabbi Vav, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda think that you're not allowed to be mafsik at that point? Tichsiv, Vashem Elokim MS. Because Pasuk says, Vashem Elokim MS. So we try to stick with that separate pasuk that says Hashem Elokim Emes. We try to keep that that together. Chozer v'omer Emes, v'ena chozer v'omer Emes. Good. So you said Hashem Elokim Emes. Now, do you say Emes again when you start the next paragraph, or do you not say Emes again because the next paragraph begins with the word Emes? So should you say it again or should you not? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chozer v'omer Emes. Yes, say it again. Rabba Amar Eino Chozer v'omer Emes. No, don't say it again. Hahu denachs kamei de Rabba. Shame Rabba da Amar Emes Emes trei zimni. Someone went to Rabba and he heard Rabba saying Emes twice. So, and Rabba was the one who said that Eino Chozer v'omer Emes, right? So Amar Rabba. I'm sorry. Rabba heard him saying Emes twice, and Rabba didn't like it because Rabba's the one that says you don't say Emes twice. So Amar Rabba called Emes Emes tafse lahai. This guy has the Emes disease. All he's saying is MS, MS, MS. So meaning he's saying it sounds ridiculous. You're supposed to say it once. You're not supposed to keep on saying it. Amar Rav Yosef, Kama Ma'al Yahash Maitza. Rav Yosef says, I have this amazing teaching to share with everybody. The Chiyasa Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar, Amri B'marava Arvis, Daber Al B'nei Yisrael V'amarta Aleim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Notice there's no V'chulei in there. That in Mariv, they used to say in Eretz Yisrael, the entire third paragraph of Shema would consist of these words. Daber Al B'nei Yisrael V'amarta Aleim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. And that was it. They would skip the whole kishkas of the entire paragraph. Amar Le Abayi, my Mal Yusuf, what's so great about that? V'amar Rav Kana Amrav Lo Yaskel V'im Hiskel Gomer. Didn't Rav Kana Amrav say, look, you don't have to say that whole third paragraph of Kriya Shema, but if you're going to start it, then you do need to finish it. You can't just start it and cut it short. So V'chi Tema V'amarta Aleim Lo Avi Haskala. And if you're going to say V'amarta Aleim is not even called a Haskala because you're barely even into it, V'amrav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Amrav Daberol B'nei Yisrael Lo Avi Haskala. V'amarta Aleim Havi Haskala. Daberol B'nei Yisrael maybe is not called a Haskala, but V'amarta Aleim is already Haskala. What do you mean it's not Haskala? Why shouldn't Daberol B'nei Yisrael be Haskala? It's part of the paragraph. So this is an idea that we have in halacha sometimes, that when you have a phrase that could be in so many different places, and it could apply in so many different places, so it's not necessarily a definitive declaration that I'm saying that I'm starting this parsha. Daber El B'nei Yisrael is all over the Torah, so it's not a definitive beginning to this parsha. Where do we apply this in halacha? There's a halacha that you're not allowed to. I remember right after I got engaged, I called Rav Shachter and I asked him about wedding invitations. Are there any halachas that I need to be aware of about getting engaged and about wedding invitations? And he said, with the invitation, you got to be careful. Don't put a pasuk on your wedding invitation because people throw it out. You're not allowed to throw out psukim. So I said, kol sasam, kol simcha, kol chasam, kol kala. Can I put that on the top of the invitation? That's part of a pasuk. So you're allowed to put it. He said, nah, that's just an expression. Everyone realizes it's just an expression. That just means there's a wedding. No one views that as part of a pasuk. But if you say, od yisham bar yidu v'chutz yishlaim kol sasam, kol simcha, kol chasam, kol kala, that's already enough of a chunk of a pasuk that's going to be a problem. So meaning some words, it's clearly just the beginning of, so it's not even the beginning of a parsha. Over here, Daber El B'nei Yisrael, it could be anything. That's just but when once you said enough of it where you're like, oh no, that's the parsha of Shema, it's just not completed, so that's called a haskala. But either way, we do see that they were maschil. So if they were maschil, why didn't they finish it? And so Gemara Amrav Papa, Kasavri B'marava V'amarta Aleim Nami Lo Havi Haskala Adam Rav Asulem Tzitzis. He holds V'amarta Aleim is not Haskala either. Why is it not Haskala? You didn't say any of the themes of the parsha yet. Until you say Vasulam Tzitzis, where you start covering the actual themes of the parsha, what that parsha is about, then you haven't really been maskil the parsha. Amar Abayi Hilka Chanan Eschuli Maskilinon Dekamaskili Barava. So Abayi says we follow what the Bnei Marava did, what they did in Eretz Yisrael, by starting it. We do start like they did in Eretz Yisrael. Vekivin Daskilinon Migmar Nami Gamrinon. But the difference is, once we start, we also finish. We don't do like they did in Eretz Yisrael, where they started and then cut it short. Once we start the parsha, we're also gomer. Da Amar Rav Kana Amar Rav Lo Yaskil V'Miskil Gomer. Because after all, if Kana said in the Amar Rav, you don't have to be maskil, but if you are maskil, then you need to be gomer. So we're going to be maskil, but we're gomer as well. Chia Barav Amar Amar Ani Hashem Elokeichem Tzorich Lomar Emes. If you say Ani Hashem Elokeichem, then you need to say Emes as well. I mean, you say Parshas Tzitzis, you got to say Emes. Lo Amar Ani Hashem Elokeichem Einu Tzorich Lomar Emes. If you don't say Ani Hashem Elokeichem, then you don't need to say Emes. Meaning, if you choose not to say the third parsha of Shema, so then you don't need to say Emes. Iva Bayilat Kuri Tzias Mitzrayim. What about Zechir Tzias Mitzrayim? Meaning, don't you have that Chiyuv we just learned in the Mishnah Yud Beis Amud Beis? We just spoke about it last night. Maskirin Tzias Mitzrayim Belelos, that we're supposed to do Zechir Tzias Mitzrayim at night. And if you don't say Emes Amunah and you don't say the Parsha of Tzitzis, so where is your Zechir Tzias Mitzrayim? One of them, at least, you have to do. You have to talk about Tzias Mitzrayim in one of them. So well, that's why we say the third paragraph of Shema at night. But he's saying, for those who don't say the third paragraph, don't worry, you don't have to say Emes Amunah either. Well, Emes Amunah can be a key of Zechir Tzias Mitzrayim even without the Parsha of Vayomer, but that's only if you say it, right? If you don't say either one of them, then where in the world is your Zechir Tzias Mitzrayim? We pointed out that Reb Chaim says that Reb Chaim's Yisod, that Zechir Tzias Mitzrayim is part of the Mitzvah of Kriya Shema, so that's why Emes Amunah can be a key of Zechir Tzias Mitzrayim, because Zechir Tzias Mitzrayim is the Yisod of Zechir Tzias Mitzrayim is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, is recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Emes Amunah is about Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf is an exercise in Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. That's what we said, Zakei Livan Veyu. So anyway, so how are you being Yotzi Zechir Tzias Mitzrayim? Says the Gemara, Damar Hachi, Modem Anach Melcha Hashem Elokeinu Shotzei Sanu Meretz Mitzrayim, Tisanu Beis Avadim, Vasisla Nisim Gvuros Aliyam, Visharnu Lach. That it could just be, you say Modem Ta Hashem. You don't have to say Parsha of Shema or Emes Amunah. You make up your own tefillah where you mention Yotzias Mitzrayim. In that way, you'll be Yotzei Zechir Tzias Mitzrayim. You say this tefillah that you're Modem Ta Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he took us out from Beis Avadim and how we sang to him Aliyam, and that itself is Zechir Tzias Mitzrayim. Fine. There's also a major discussion what the difference is between the mitzvah of Zechir Yitzias Mitzrayim that applies all year versus the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. This line may give us a window into answering that question, because what do you need to do in order to accomplish Zechir Yitzias Mitzrayim? Well, we know the third parasha Shema could accomplish it, and now we have, if you needed to, outside of the context of Pesukim, if we needed to formulate our own Zechir Yitzias Mitzrayim, this is what it would be. So what does Sipur have that this doesn't have, and that will open up the door to us to explain what the difference is between the geder of the mitzvah Sipur versus the geder of the mitzvah Zechira. That's what they say. Reb Chaim said that there are three fundamental differences. Everyone says Reb Chaim said there are three differences, but everyone has a different three. So Pasha says Reb Chaim said there are more than three differences. But one of the differences is that Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is b'derech sheilu tshuva. It's v'gad de levincha. There has to be a question, there has to be an answer. Over here it's just modem anach l'lecha. Also, Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is a Sipur Dvarim. You have to actually tell the story. Over here, we're not telling any story. We're thanking Hashem that He took us out and He based Avadim and He did Nisim, but we don't actually go through what exactly what happened, what the story was. Okay, number of differences. Vayitu in the Gemara. Amr b'shubah in karcha, lama pidma parsha shema. Why? So we said in the Mishnah, why does Shema come before Vayim Shema? Because first you need Kabbalah sol malch shemaim, then Kabbalah sol mitzvos. Why Vayim Shema before Vayomer? Vayomer only includes sittas, which is only nogeya at night anyway. Which by the way, Tosos over here, Vayomer ain't no Heges al Bayom, Tosos comments on that line, even though it doesn't appear in our Gemara, this Tosos really shaykh to the Mishnah, that it's only Noeg Bayom. So says Tosos, Mikan Mashma Krebi Shim, Dom Perakat Chelus, the Tzitzis Mitzvah Shazman Grama. So obviously, Tzitzis is a Mitzvah Shazman Grama. If it's not Noeg at night, it's Mitzvah Shazman Grama. And that's what it says in Kiddushin, to come Tzitzis Mitzvah Shazman Grama. So Frak Tosos in Tomer, Im Kain, Laman Yom Tzitzis Chovis Talishu, Vafilu Munechus Bekufsa, Afilu Achayevis Betzitzis. But what if you hold, like like the Shita in Menachos that holds that tzitzis is a chavas talis. What does it mean a chavas talis? If I have a beggar of dalet kamfos hanging in my closet, it needs to have tzitzis on it. Not only when I wear it, even hanging in my closet, it needs tzitzis. How in the world is that zman grama? So Tosfos has a fascinating insight. Zman grama doesn't necessarily mean that I'm only chayiv at certain times and not chayiv at other times. What kind of beggar is chayiv in tzitzis? Only the type of beggar you would wear during the day. Since the zman is goreim the geder of the chiyuv, even though the zman is not goreim the timing of the chiyuv, that would be zman grama. What makes this a daytime beggar? Do you normally wear it during the day? That's a certain time. It's chayiv in tzitzis even at night, even though I only wear it during the day. But the zman is goreim the geder of the chiyuv. That's a phenomenal chiddush tosos. That too would be called zman grama. Okay, but it says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Yechayomer, Bedinu Yaktim Shema LeVayim Shema, Shazel Lomov Zel Lamed. Another reason why Shema should come before Vayim Shema, Shema talks about learning Torah versus teaching Torah. So Vayim Shema LeVayomer, Shazel Lilmod, Vizel Lamed, means Shema is teaching, Vahaya is only learning. And Vayim Shema is about learning, Vizel Asos, and Vayomer is about doing. So says the Gemara, what? Atu Shema Lilmod Ispay, Lelamed Velasos Lespay. Why, you think Shema is only about learning, it's not about teaching and doing also, meaning it's saying there's a logical progression. First you learn, then you teach, and then you do, meaning one leads to the other. Learning leads to teaching, because we're lilmod al menas lelamed and al menas lasos. So, but what? You think the first parsha doesn't include all those themes? Vaksiv ishinantem, which is learning, kshartem uksaftem. So we have doing kshartem, uksaftem is lelamed. Vesu vayim shema lelamed udispe, velasos lespe. Why, you think vayim shema only has the lamed, but not lasos. Vaksiv ukshartem uksaftem. Ukshartem uksaftem is lasos as well. Both ukshartem and uksaftem are lasos. Vishinantem is lelamed. Elahachi kamar. No, this is what we mean to say. Bedinu shetiktum shema levayim shema shazel lilmod lelamed vilasos. Really, shema should have come first because it has all three. Vayim shema levayim shazel yeshba lelamed vilasos. Vayim shema comes next because it at least has two of the three themes. Vayomer ain ba elalasos vilvad. But Vayomer doesn't mention anything about learning or teaching Torah, only about doing. So v'tepulayim Rabbi Shulman Karcha, why do I need this new reason for the Seder of Kriya Shema? What was wrong with Rabbi Shulman Karcha's reasons of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim followed by Kabbalah Mitzvos followed by Parshas Tzitzis? So Chada v'yod Kamar, that's a good answer too. We're just giving another answer also. Chada k'dei she'kabal of Amach Shemayim v'od chila v'ach kach yikaba v'od, I'm sorry, mishum de'is dispe ani miliach v'od chad k'dei she'kabal of Amach Shemayim t'chila. First of all, Rabbi Shulman Karcha is right. Plus, we also have this other theme of lilmod lamed lasos followed by only lamed lasos followed by just lasos. Rav Moshe Yadav Vikar Kriya Shema Va'anach Tefillin V'Tzali. Rav washed his hands, said Shema, put on tefillin, and then davened. How could he do it in that order? Vatanya chofer kuch lemeis bekever patim rekriya shema uminatfilu uminatfilin umikol mitzvos hamurus b'torah. That if a person is digging a grave, he's patim from all mitzvos in the Torah. It's interesting that we say tefila, tefillin, and all mitzvos in the Torah. Tosfos asks the question: what is kriya shema? Not one of the mitzvos in the Torah? We have to single it out as aside from all the other mitzvos in the Torah. Okay, good kasha. Vaiter igias man kriya shema. Once kriya shema comes, olav enotel yadav. He has to wash his hands, put on tefillin, then say Shema and Davin. So wait a second. I'll go for Kasha. Reisham Patav v'Seiv Chayev. First we said he's Patav from Kriya Shema. Now we're saying he's saying Kriya Shema when the Zman comes. So hello Kasha. Seiv betray v'Reisham b'Chayev. No, when he's saying Kriya Shema, we're talking about there are two diggers. He's not the only one digging. So you can take a pause to say Kriya Shema. When we say he's Patav from Kriya Shema, he's the only one digging. But we call Makom Kasha l'Rav. But at the end of the day, Tefillin apparently have to come before Shema. So why did Rav say Shema first and then put on Tefillin? What's going on? So says Rav Krabi Yishuv ben Karchus. Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha. That you have to first be mekabel of Amach Shreim, then do mitzvahs like putting on tefillin. That's why Rav did that. Amar Dam Rav Shuban Karcha lahakdim kriya lekriya kriya leasiya mishamelei. No, Rav Shuban Karcha said you should speak about, you should say the parsha about kabbalas ol mitzvahs Amach Shreim before ol mitzvahs, not to actually do kabbalas ol Amach Shreim before you put on tefillin. V'su misavelek Rav Shuban Karcha. Anyway, does he really hold like Rav Shuban Karcha? V'amruchia barashi zimn sangin avikim nekame. There are plenty of times we saw him put on tefillin first and then say Kriya Shema, so he doesn't know the Grim Shum and Karcha. And if you want to say, no, that was before Zman Kriya Shema, Imkein Mayas Hadase Drav Chia Barashi, then what's the big deal? Then of course he didn't say Kriya Shema yet. So it says, Mar Lafuki Mandiyam Lemishna in Tzarek Levarich. Kamashmulan Daf Lemishna Nami Tzarek Levarich. No, it's Lomat Zman Kriya Shema, but we're talking according to the Mandiyamar, which the Chiddush is that Lafuki, the Mandiyamar that says you don't have to make a bracha when you're just learning Mishnah. So the Chiddush is that even though he was only learning Mishnah, he still had to make a bracha Birchas HaTorah. But Mikol Makom Kasha L'Rav, but how do we answer the Kasha on Rav? And Sugmar Shluchu Huda Avis. Now we messed up the report of what Rav actually did. The Shliach was, not messed up the report, the Shliach was messed up in that he brought the Tefillin too late and it was already past his man Kriya Shema. That's why Rav said Kriya Shema before putting on Tefillin. But really, you're supposed to put on Tefillin before saying Kriya Shema. The guy who was supposed to bring Rav's Tefillin was late in bringing his Tefillin. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow.